Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I had written this the other day, and the Cincinnati Reds, in case you didn't know, since they fired their manager, Brian Price, they've been playing some pretty good baseball. Riggleman takes over. Really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, since May 29th, and if you didn't read the article, but since May 29th, the Cincinnati Reds are 24-17. They've got a pretty solid record. The Brewers have been kind of foundering a little bit at 20-23. The Cubs are 27-16. But the Reds have been playing some winning baseball, and they are going to be a thorn in the side of many teams before it's all said and done. From ESPN Radio 1530 in Cincinnati, Mo Egger, our buddy, now joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mo, what's been the turnaround in Cincinnati for this team?
I think it's been two things. I think, number one, the starting pitching has been better. For a number of years, as they dismantled and tried to rebuild the team, you know, they trade away Johnny Cueto, they trade away Mike Leake, and I think until they got the guys that they think can kind of be the nucleus of the rotation moving forward, they were just kind of plugging in dudes. You know, Scott Feldman was their opening day starter last year. They brought back Bronson Arroyo. They were, you know, bringing guys up who really didn't have much of a big league future, and now what they've gotten is, I think, a trio of guys that they really anticipate being a part of their rotation moving forward: Sal Romano, Tyler Malley, and Luis Castillo. Those guys are finally going a little bit deeper into games. They've gotten Anthony DeSclafani back healthy. And the Matt Harvey acquisition, you know, they got him with the idea of trading him, and I would say there's a 99% chance they do, but he's kind of revived his career by pitching really well here. So I think that's number one. And the other thing, and I don't think people talk about this enough, is they're healthy. When they got off to the start that they got off to, 3-18, offensively, we thought this team was going to be better than it showed in the first 3 weeks, and we knew eventually they would hit. That's happened. But I think more than anything, compared to the last couple of years, I think they've shown that health matters. You know, if you go back to 2014, Joey Votto misses 100 games. They had more games missed than any team in the National League Central, I believe, in 2015. They have finally gotten a lineup together that's intact and healthy and really has very few holes in it. They have guys at the top of the order who are getting on base. They have a number of guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and obviously getting all-star caliber seasons from Eugenio Suarez and former Brewer Scooter Gennett. It's really kind of turned into a pretty well-rounded club. Now, obviously, they got off to such a slow start that for this season it really doesn't mean all that much, but suddenly the trajectory for this club is pointed upward, and there's some building excitement here.
I was going to say, when you bring up Scooter Gennett, he has stated over and over again he wants to stay in Cincinnati. What is the long-term situation for him?
I believe that he's not going to be traded. First of all, he's under team control for one more year. I think they look at it from a couple of different angles. One being, I think they view him as kind of central to this team's improved chemistry. For whatever amount of value you want to attach to that, I think they view him as one of those guys in the clubhouse that has really kind of changed the tone of the team and the clubhouse itself. Number two, I just don't really think they're going to be able to get that much for him. As good a year as he's had and as good as he's been since coming to Cincinnati, I kind of believe the market for him really isn't there. There's not a lot of teams that need a second baseman. He could obviously play a number of positions, but he's kind of, you know, found a home at second base. He's going to make a lot more money next year because he has one more year of arbitration. And I just gather the sense that around the league, the belief is that he's not going to be as good moving forward as he's been over the last year and a half. I think they view him being on the team next year as giving them a better chance to maybe make a push toward contention next season, as opposed to plugging someone else in at second base. And he's also a fan favorite. And I'm not really sure that should factor into the thinking, but Dick Williams, the president of baseball operations, said last week, we want to expand the payroll next year. For that to happen, though, they're going to have to put more butts in seats here in the second half of the season. Attendance is down from last year, 16%. I think they view keeping Scooter as something that will engender enough goodwill to maybe get people to come to the ballpark here in the second half of the year. And then finally, I think they view him as someone they can sign, not for the next 5 or 6 years, but with the falling costs of free agents, his willingness to stay here, I think they feel like they can get something done that keeps him here beyond next season for maybe 3 years at something that economically is pretty responsible. And so I think he's going to be here. It then begs a series of questions. All right, who goes? Because they have a number of guys they could trade at the deadline. Their top prospect, Nick Senzel, got a lot of time at second base. If Scooter's going to stay, he's going to play second base. What do you do with Nick Senzel? Do you move him to the outfield? Do you trade him in an effort to get that number one starter they need? They have a lot of different directions they can go in, but I believe that come August 1st, Scooter Gennett will still be on this team.
Then Riggleman at the end of the season, I mean, depending on which way the season goes, I mean, there's a lot of talk about him getting offers from other teams. Do the Reds keep him or do they move in another direction?
I think he's got a shot at coming back. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of talk about taking the interim tag off. I think a lot of that is media created and fan created, and understandably so, because when a team plays well with the interim guy, you know, it's just, it's natural to wonder if it makes sense to bring him back. But I think they really want to go through a thorough search. I really think, you know, when they hired Brian Price in 2013, the search consisted of making sure they had Brian Price's updated contact info. You know, they really didn't do a comprehensive search for Dusty Baker's replacement. I think this is an important hire for them. I think, you know, when they hired Brian Price, they knew they weren't going to be good for a long time. I think they're hoping that the next manager is the guy that kind of takes this team to the next step, which is back to postseason contention, maybe eventually back to the postseason. And when you really haven't done a managerial search in a decade, I think it behooves you to do something exhaustive and comprehensive. And, you know, my stance on the whole thing has been, if at the end of that process you decide Jim Riggleman's the guy, then that's okay. But I don't see the need to remove the interim tag now. I'm not really sure what the rush is. I'm not sure what the downside is to doing a search. And if the St. Louis Cardinals want to hire Jim Riggleman, well, I think the Reds are in a good enough place with where they're headed and with what their nucleus is that they're going to be able to survive that. There's some things they can't survive. Losing Jim Riggleman, I think, is one of them. But it's going to be interesting. If the team continues to play well, does management revisit this? Does the owner step in and say, look, I want Jim Riggleman? It's going to be interesting, but he's done a very good job, and there's certainly a growing sentiment that, you know, he should be the guy next year. I, at the end of the day, think they're going to go through a search at the end of the season, and maybe at the end of that, Jim still has a chance to be the guy.
We had Marty Brenneman on the show about a month ago, maybe a little bit less, and it's when the Reds were taking on the Brewers, and I'd asked Marty, I said, what is the direction of this club? And Marty said, even though they're playing good baseball, if upper management believes that this is the team now that they believe they had, they're fooling themselves, because he said he doesn't see the amount of talent as they maybe claim that they have. So let me ask you this, how far away are they from, say, this tearing down or this rebuild or what have you, to being complete? And in addition to that, should they be dramatic sellers as we continue to approach the trade deadline?
Well, they only have one guy who can be a free agent at the end of this year, and that's Harvey. They have a number of guys who are, you know, going to get hefty pay raises next year. Adam Duvall, Billy Hamilton, Scooter Gennett. They have a little bit of a surplus of outfielders, and they have a little bit of surplus of infielders. I think for them to take a significant leap forward, what they need is a bona fide number one hammer at the front of that rotation. And I think that's the most difficult hurdle to clear. You know, I've made this point a couple of times. You know, number one, the Reds have, I think, over the last 40, 43 years, developed two true number one starters, Mario Soto and Johnny Cueto. That's it. It illustrates how hard it is to develop. Now, maybe they have that guy in the organization now. You know, Hunter Green, who pitched in the Futures game, is probably going to be that guy, but, you know, not for another 3 or 4 years. Do they have that guy on staff now in time to get really good next year? I think that's debatable. So then it's free agency. Well, if you look at the list of free agents starting pitchers for next year, pretty uninspiring list, and a list of guys that's going to cost a lot of money. So then it's a trade. And I've made this point a number of times. The last time the Reds traded for what they thought was going to be a number one starting pitcher was when they acquired Matt Latos from the Padres in 2012. Now, Matt Latos has gone on to be kind of a punchline, but for 2 years, he helped anchor playoff rotations here. to get him, the Reds had to send to the Padres three future All-Stars and Edinson Volquez, who helped the Royals win the World Series in 2015. That's a very hefty price. And so I think sometimes we're a little bit too overly simplistic in talking about the core the Reds have and going, you know what, they're a number one starter away. They are, but how do you get that number one starter? And are you willing to give up what it's going to cost? And do you have a package of players that other teams would want in exchange for a number one? I think that's the biggest challenge for this team. I don't think they can meet it now. I'm not sure they can meet it this offseason. So I tend to think they're a little ways away, but I am optimistic about the direction they're going in. They kind of have a core, and they've got some pretty interesting potential trade chips. Raisel Iglesias, their closer, is under team control for three more years. You can trade Billy Hamilton. You can trade Adam Duvall. I think, though, the most interesting scenarios involve Nick Senzel, their first-round draft choice from 2016, fifth overall, and Robert Stevenson, who at one time was considered their top pitching prospect, who I think they've soured on just a little bit. If they're willing to move those two guys, they can make some progress via trade. I'm just not sure they're willing to do either.
Real quick, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to give me your thought. Outside looking in, the tweets came to light last night for Brewers reliever Josh Hader. And, you know, he says, look, I was 17 and what have you. He apologized, kind of owned it. But just outside perspective looking in about 20 seconds, give me your thought.
I'm not sure what he's supposed to do now. It's obviously unfortunate, and those are horrible tweets. But, what's the next bill that comes due for him? He makes the apology. He's going to have to deal with his teammates. What do we want to do now? I understand, the Twitter outrage cycle sort of lasts 24 hours. Does he wait this out until we move on to something else? Like, what's the next pound of flesh that we want from Josh Hader? Are they supposed to suspend him for tweets he sent when he was 17 years
right.
old? Is he supposed to quit? Are the Brewers supposed to cut him? Like, what do we do now? That's what I can't figure out. If you're still mad about it, fine. He made the apology. He's going to have to deal with his teammates. Then what? What's going to make everybody happy? And the answer is probably nothing. So I don't know where we go with this next.
Great stuff, Mo, as always, buddy. I'll see you soon. Take care of yourself. Take care of the wife and the new baby and everything, and you have a great time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, come visit us. See you, Bill.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. There's Mo Egger from Cincinnati, our friend down there, ESPN Radio 1530, giving us some perspectives.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.